بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أفرأيت الذي كفر بآياتنا وقال لأوتين مالا وولدا، أطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا، كلا سنكتب ما يقول ونمد له من العذاب مدا ونرثه ما يقول ويأتينا فردا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء كرام، brothers and brothers, in the time of Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, a case was opened up against a certain kafir who had committed many many crimes and injustices. And then Umar radiallahu anhu had consequently given the verdict that this person should be executed. So when the time came for his execution, then he asked for some water to drink. So as is the normal case, person has a last wish before he is executed, so they try to fulfill it. So the glass of water was brought for him to drink. So when he took the glass, he did not drink. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum told him to drink the water. So he says, "No, I'm scared." So they said, "No, why are you scared to drink the water? Drink." So he said, "I'm scared that you'll kill me before I drink this water." So Umar radiallahu anhu told him that, "Till you do not drink the water, we will not kill you. So relax and drink the water." So this kafir, when he hears this, he takes the water and he throws it onto the floor. And then he tells Umar radiallahu anhu that you said that till I do not drink this water, you will not kill me. Now there's no water, so you cannot kill me. So Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned that this person has deceived us, but we will not deceive him. And then he tells him that you can go free. You are free to go. So immediately this person, he recites, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." And then he mentions that I always knew that Islam was the true religion, but because of my deep hatred for Islam and the Muslims, I refuse to accept. But today, seeing the justice of Islam, the honor and the respect and the conduct of the Muslims, then this has won my heart, and this person enters into the fold of Islam. In the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, a Jew had stolen his armor. So the case came in front of Hazrat Qazi Shureh rahimahullah, who was the chief justice, the head judge. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and this Jew were brought in front of the judge, Hazrat Qazi Shureh rahimahullah. And then Hazrat Qazi Shureh rahimahullah, he asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu that you are the claimant. So it is the duty of the claimant to produce proof, to prove his claim. So do you have any proof? So Ali radiallahu anhu is Amirul Mu'mineen, and he's not being given any special treatment, any VIP treatment on account of his authority or his position. He's being treated just the same. Both are equal in the court of Islam. So he says, "Yes, I have two witnesses. One is my son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one is my free slave, Umur." So Hazrat Qazi Shuri rahimahullah, he tells him that the testimony of the son in favor of the father will not be accepted in the court of Islam. Because the son, he has love for the father, he has affection for the father, he has a bond with the father. So his judgment or his testimony in favor of the father, there will be some doubt in it. So it will not be seen favorably. So this will not be accepted. So you'll have to produce another witness. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, you can imagine that he is Amirul Mu'mineen. Hazrat Qazi Shuri rahimahullah was placed as the head judge by none other than Ali radiallahu anhu himself. And Ali radiallahu anhu is standing in the same court. And yeah, he's not being shown any preferential treatment. So Ali radiallahu anhu tells him that, "Oh Shuri, that this is my son Hazrat Hassan, and Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned with regards to my two sons, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, that Sayyida Shababi Ahli Jannah, they are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. And when this is his maqam and his status, and still you are rejecting his testimony. So as Al-Qazi Shuri rahimahullah mentions that no matter who the son is, the law of Islam is that the testimony of the son will not be accepted in favor of the father. So no matter who he is, we're not going to accept it. You will have to come with another witness. So do you have another witness? He said, I don't have any other witness. So he says, in that case, we'll have to pass the judgment in favor of the Jew, and then the armor has to be taken and given to the Jew. So immediately, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he bows his head, he accepts the judgment of the court of Islam, and then the armor is taken and handed over to the Jew. Immediately, the Jew, when he gets this armor, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he enters into the fold of Islam. And then he says, really, this armor does not belong to me. I actually took it unjustly. I stole it. It belongs to Ali radiallahu anhu. And now seeing the justice and the honor of Islam, the respect and the conduct of the Muslims, so now I take this, I have accepted Islam and I take this armor and I give it back to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu tells him, you can keep the armor. Allahu Akbar. And then it is mentioned that this Jew, he remained in the company of Ali radiallahu anhu till the end of his life. He became a very, very committed and devout servant of Ali radiallahu anhu. Until in the battle of Siffin, he fought on the side of Ali radiallahu anhu until he became shaheed. So the lessons that we learn from these two incidents was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. In the case of Umar radiallahu anhu, the fear of accountability and standing in the court of Allah, a fear of questioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, that how will I answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he has to ask me on the day of Qiyamah that you told this person that so long as you do not drink the water, you will not kill him. If I had to kill him, how am I going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in the case of Ali radiallahu anhu, that you told this person, or the court of law had passed judgment that you have to bring two witnesses, and you did not have the two witnesses. And if you are going to insist that that armor has to be given to me, then how are you going to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and therefore, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgoes his right. But then we see the outcome of these incidents, that after seeing the justices of Islam, the respect and the honor and the conduct of the Muslims, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this is the thing that is winning the hearts of the enemies of Islam and causing them to enter into the fold of Islam. So this is the quality that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum possessed, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the distinguishing factor between us and them. Sahaba radiallahu anhum possess the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives and in their hearts. And through this they were successful. Through this they triumphed over the enemy. Through this they earned the special help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person who will bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life, if we will bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life, then we also, inshallah, will be successful. We also will see the special help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is asking today for the assistance. Where is the assistance of Allah? Where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the victory? So when we will bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our life, we also will gain the special assistance and the focus and attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also will triumph over the enemies. This will become the dominating factor in our life that will keep us on haq, keep us away from batil. That will keep the person on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep him away from sins. Like how in the month of Ramadan, it's a scorching day, very, very hot. The fridge is laden with delicacies. The cupboards are full. But the person will not touch anything. Because he knows that this is the command of Allah, I'm fasting. This is the farz of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just based on my desires, based on my passions, I'm not going to destroy this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to destroy this farz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if someone had to pay him at that moment, I'll give you 1 million, 10 million also. No matter how much you pay the person who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will never break his fast. Because he has the fear of Allah in his heart. Similarly, today is the day of Jumu'ah. And it is the most important day of the week in the life of a Muslim. And we understand the virtues of Jumu'ah. We know how important this farz of Jumu'ah, the Salatul Jumu'ah is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we see so many people, the ummah of Rasulullah SAW throughout the world, what arrangements is made so that every person is there for the Salatul Jumu'ah. All meetings are cancelled. Everything is worked around the Salatul Jumu'ah. Even if it is a $1 million deal also, it must happen before the Jumu'ah, or we'll continue it after Jumu'ah. But we have to break for my Jumu'ah Salah. We're not saying you must drive fast or whatever, or break the rules. But if the person is late for Jumu'ah also, then he'll break the speed limit. He'll say, I'll worry about the tickets later, but I have to make it there for my Jumu'ah Salah on time. So much of importance. The person who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart and his life, he wants to pay him 1 million, 10 million also, whatever the amount. Tell him, miss your Jumu'ah Salah. The person who has the fear of Allah in his heart, he won't be prepared to do it. Because he knows this is the farz of my Allah, the command of my Allah, and I can never break it. In the time of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu. He was a blacksmith by trade. So he had gotten into some business deals with As bin Wa'il, one kafir, a mushrik. So Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat, As bin Wa'il had asked him to make a sword for him. And in some narrations, he asked him for some money. So anyway, when the sword was made, and he presented the sword, and the time came to collect the money. So when he went to collect the money from As bin Wa'il, so As bin Wa'il told him that I will not pay you this money until you don't leave Islam. You don't reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't reject the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not pay you this money. In other words, if you don't become a kafir like me and leave your iman and reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not going to pay you this money. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat, the world and whatever it contained meant nothing to them against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his immediate response is that, oh As, that if from now till you die, I don't receive this money from you in exchange of what you are telling me to do, then I don't mind if I don't receive this money. Such a long lengthy period from now till the end of your life. And not only that, after you die also, from the time you die till the time of Qiyamah will come and you are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, such a long time has to pass from now till the day of Qiyamah, and I don't receive this money from you in exchange of what you are asking me to do, I have no care for it. I have no interest in this. You can leave it out. So As bin Wa'il, he begins to taunt Hazrat Khabbab bin al-Arat. So he says, there is such a thing as Qiyamah, there is such a thing as life after death, resurrection, where we're all going to be resurrected on the plains of resurrection, and we're going to be questioned and all these things. So he says that if there is such a thing like this, then on that day I'll have a lot of wealth, I'll have a lot of money, I'll have a lot of children, I'll have all these things, you can come and collect on that day. We'll do the EFT then. So Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat, he remains on his stance. He says, from now till Qiyamah also, if you're asking me to do this, I'm not prepared to accept. You can keep the money also. I'm not interested. So we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves Sahaba radiallahu anhum so much that these were the true heroes of Islam, the leaders of the ummah, our leaders, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the T, 100%. The true representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. Rijal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah loved them so much that many, many places in the Quran and Kareem, Allah praises them. In one place Allah says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. That Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this occasion, when Khabbab ibn al-Arat is having this conversation with As bin Wa'il, then while this dialogue was taking place, Quran Sharif was being revealed. So imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them, how much He loved them, the Sahaba, that on many occasions while the dialogues were taking place, those incidents were taking place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealing Quran Kareem. Imagine the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many, many Sahaba like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran Kareem, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. He says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you see that person who denied our verses and he denied our signs? وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. And he says that if tomorrow, if there is such a thing as Qiyamah, if there is such a thing as the day of resurrection, then on that day I'll be given a lot of wealth, I'll be given a lot of, I'll have a lot of children, I'll have all of these things. وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ. Allah is asking, has he seen into the, has he peeped into the unseen to see that we have kept all these things in store for him there? أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ عَهْدًا. Or has he made a covenant and a pact and an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all these things are kept for him there? That we have kept all these things for him in the hereafter? Allah mentions, كَلَّا. Never. You're not going to give him anything. Nothing of this is in store for him there. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ. Allah says, we will record everything that he is saying. Everything that he is saying is on record. His every move, we are going to record it. It's going to be brought in front of him on the day of Qiyamah. The angels will have it on record. وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا. And we are going to extend his punishment to a great extension. We're going to give him a lot of punishment. وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ. And all these things that he is talking about, this wealth of his and his children and his fame and position of his, we are going to inherit it. He'll have nothing. He's going to leave everything behind. And we will give it to whoever we please. وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا. And he's going to come to us all alone, like the day we created him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing ayat of the Quran. It's with regards to the incident of this sahabi, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's for everyone. So although it was revealed for that sahabi, but Allah is impressing upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the sahaba radiallahu anhum had in their lives, we should also have it in our life. Just like how they were ready to sacrifice everything for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also need to sacrifice for the command of Allah. How he responded, the sahabi responded, we are supposed to be responding. How he conducted, we are supposed to be conducting. That the power that the sahaba radiallahu anhum had, the power of this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of accountability and standing for reckoning in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, That also has to become our fear, our main concern and our main fikr. Like how a person, we mentioned, it is the month of Ramadan, and it's so hot, but he will not extend his hand to take anything. Even though there's no one there watching him, but he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, therefore he will not do it. This is the power, the fear of Allah. Similarly, the person is at home, he's in his business, he's on holiday. The person is dealing with a Muslim or a non-Muslim, in public or in private, in all situations. In every situation, he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him. How am I going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give account on the day of Qiyamah? The person is looking at his cell phone, he's viewing the internet, he's looking at the social media. At that time also, the dominant fikr and concern is my accountability in front of Allah. Akhirat, how my last moments are going to be when I'm going to leave this world. Tabi'i, he met the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, dominant fikr was how the last moments were going to be when they leave this world. On Tabi'i, he said he met about 16 to 20 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he says the dominant fikr, all of them, he said the main feature in each and every one of the Sahaba that I met, was each and every one of them was worried and concerned about his akhirat. His main fikr, his dominant fikr of his life, was how his last moments were going to be. So similarly, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last moments of my life, how am I going to be on the day when I'm going to pass away and we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned as Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, at the end of his life, it is the time of Fajr, as Umar radiallahu an, who goes into the Musalla to perform the Fajr Salah. The Kafir Persian slave, Abu Lu'lu, he goes front and he stabs as Umar radiallahu an many times, until as Umar radiallahu an falls unconscious. And then eventually he is caught, but he stabs himself and he kills himself. As Umar radiallahu an was taken from there to his home, and he was in a state of unconsciousness. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum was standing around him. They were grieving. What a sad day it must have been for the ummah of Rasulullah, the day when Umar radiallahu anhu left this world. And at that time, Hazrat Samura radiallahu anhu came forward and he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that has Amirul Mu'mineen performed his Fajr Salah yet? So they said, no, he hasn't performed his Salah. So he said, no, Salah, very important even at this time. And then he says, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, As-Salah, As-Salah. And immediately, when Umar radiallahu anhu hears these words, he comes out of his state of deep unconsciousness, and he comes into a state of wakefulness, and he says, yes, yes, salah. لَيْسَ لَهُ حَظٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ salah. There is no share for that person in Islam who has no salah in his life. The one who has no salah in his life has no share in his, there's no share in Islam for him. And then the first question is Umar radiallahu anhu asks, that has the have the Sahaba radiallahu anhu performed their salah? Imagine such fikr and concern that just the mere mention of salah brings him out of a state of unconsciousness into a state. You can imagine what how deep of a state of unconsciousness he must have been after being stabbed so much. But just by hearing salah, he came out of that state and he performs his salah. And his main fikr after that is, has the ummah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, have they performed their salah or not? And then he tells his son, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, that go to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha and ask her permission that I wish to be buried in her house in the room next to Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says, but when you go there, don't say Amirul Mu'mineen is sending you. Perhaps she might feel it like a command and an instruction. She might feel obliged. He says, because I am no longer Amirul Mu'mineen. I'm about to leave this world. Say to her that Umar, your father, is sending you. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes to her, to Aisha radiallahu anhu, and he tells her that Amirul Mu'mineen, that my father Umar radiallahu anhu has sent me to ask you permission if he can be buried in this room. So she said, it was my desire that I would be buried there, next to my father, next to Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Umar radiallahu anhu is that personality that we will sacrifice everything for him. Everything we will give it to him. Go and tell him that we give him the permission. He can be buried there. It is mentioned as Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu goes back to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And it is mentioned Umar radiallahu anhu is waiting in eagerness to hear what is the reply of Aisha radiallahu anha. When he sees his son, he asks her, what did she say? He says, oh my father, she has given permission, she has agreed. He becomes so happy. And he says that throughout my life, this was my dominant concern and figure. Imagine, Umar radiallahu anhu, his entire life, what personality he was. 10 years of his of Khilafat, Amir, the second greatest person in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, part of the Ashara Mubashara, those who were given glad tidings of Jannah. لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. If there was a Nabi after me to come, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Such a great person, but the dominant concern and fikr was how he's going to leave this world. What is going to be his condition at the end of his life? Will he be given the honor to be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted my dua today. And he tells his son that after I pass away, then you take my body past the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And again, you don't enter, you ask her permission one more time. Perhaps in her lifetime, she felt it hard while I was living to say no. Now you ask her after I passed away. Now she'll be free to say whatever she wants. If she says no permission, bury me in Baqi. But if she gives permission, then bury me there. So respected elders and brothers, this is that concern, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of accountability is standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to become our dominant concern and fikr. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had it. And how this can become our fear. The fear for our akhirat. The fear for death. Every person has to die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every person is going to taste death. We all know it. And it has to come. It's an inevitability. But and death has no age. Young people are passing away also. So before the time comes to set the record straight. Otherwise our book of deeds, not the stars in this world, the stars in akhirat. The person who he jippoed his books, or his books are not in order in this world. He can get away from the stars, he can duck and dive. And once he passes away, then they can't catch him. It's over. But the person whose records of the akhirat are not right, then there everything is going to be brought in front of us completely. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. An atom's worth of good, we'll see it. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. An atom's worth of bad and evil, that also we will see it. It will be brought in front of the person. So to set the records right, حُقُوقُ الْإِبَاد, the rights of the creation, whether it is with our neighbors, with our relatives, whether it is a Muslim, non-Muslim, any person for that that matter. If we have usurped something, did something wrong, set the record straight. It is not just sufficient for us to ask for forgiveness. We set the record straight. If we're owing something to someone, we pay them back. And huququllah also, what we are owing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we set the record straight. The person has qaza salah to fulfill, sort it out. The person has qaza Ramadan fast to fulfill, we sort it out. Zakat has not been paid, we pay the zakat. The person has, he's got the money, no excuse, no valid reason, he hasn't performed hajj. Go and perform that hajj. We sort out all these things before the time comes when we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافُ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. The person who feared standing in front of Allah, and he prevented, he controlled himself from his desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Then the day will come, inshallah, we lead our life with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannat will be our abode. The person will leave this world in this condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with him. The angels will be pleased with him, inshallah. The creation will be pleased. The person will be leaving, everyone will be crying. But he will be happy, he will be celebrating. He will be smiling to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bring these qualities in our life. Allah grant us tawfiq to make amal wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.